Hello, and welcome to Mongasplaining Listen to Me, our occasional segment where we interview people in and around manga and the manga industry to provide different perspectives on what manga has to offer people out there. Hello, I'm Christopher Butcher. We are live on location. This is our first time ever we've done this. Live on location at the ALA Annual Conference in Chicago. Beautiful, very surprisingly warm Chicago, Illinois. 30 degrees today. I don't know what that is in American. 85, I heard.
85, yeah. Wow. I think that's correct. Full humidity.
Full of humidity. Our guest who just spoke up, that's Robin Brenner. And Robin is a lifelong, like a career-long, let's say, rather than yes. lifelong friend. Mm-hmm. We didn't know each other in elementary school or anything like that.
But no.
Basically, since I started working in comics, Robin was there banging the drum for comics and libraries. And it is a real honor, actually, to have you on the show to interview you today.
Well, thank you.
Robin is the incoming GNCRT president. And I think you would be better to explain what that is than I would.
Sure. So the GNCRT is the acronym for the Graphic Novels and Comics Roundtable, which is basically the official group that organizes all library workers that work with comics of any kind.
Okay.
And in any kind of library. So you could be in an academic library, you could be in a school library, you could be a special library like a museum. All of that is included.
Wow.
And it's any kind of comic, like any possible form. So obviously manga is included. I use comics as an umbrella term for everything.
Yeah.
So the thing that makes it a roundtable is that we get dues, like you sign up to be a member. So we actually have some funding to do special programming and invite in special guests, used to be the harder part.
And you did a travel grant this year for librarians
yes.
to attend this conference for the first time?
Yes, that was the first time. And it's one that we're definitely going to continue. And anyone can donate to it. We started out with Skybound and Image as the major donors for this year. And we were able to bring two library workers who would never have been able to attend otherwise.
Oh,
and
that's
the whole point, is to bring in folks, especially comics librarians, and to give them a chance to see what the conference is like, but also get involved in GNCRT programming and get to meet all the folks in person that are here.
Mm. So this is the first time Mongasplaining is set up. Deb and I here, Andrew's here, and we're sort of set up with some of our manga pals, basically, publishing pals, giving out, you know, freebies. We're taking surveys to figure out how manga and libraries works. I think people who listen to the podcast who aren't librarians don't maybe realize how much is involved in being a manga librarian. And you've, mm-hmm. like I said, been banging this drum for a really long time.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how it's changed, actually, over
sure.
the, let's say, decade?
Yeah, it's been pretty much 20 years. I was lucky enough to get into the library world I started in 1999
yeah.
and then really became a librarian by 2001, 2002. And as anyone who's old enough to remember that period, that was kind of what I think of as the first manga boom was really
Absolutely,
happening
yeah.
then. And now it's back again. But yeah, so that was the original push to put manga in libraries and in bookstores at the time, because we finally had them in paperback editions, and that was something that everyone realized was very important and very popular. And I work as a teen librarian, so as with many things, the teens were the first to really gravitate towards manga, and that was the early days of Sailor Moon, you know, the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And they would wear them out, they would just explode, literally explode, it would just go poof, and we would spiral bind them to keep them in order.
Wow, so you're like really hole punching them and everything?
Exactly, yeah. And then eventually, of course, we all had conversations about ways to fix that. Yeah, so it's been a longstanding goal of ours, I think, to include all sorts of comics, but especially manga, because of how popular it is.
Absolutely.
And for me, it was very much, you know, at the time, I ended up writing a book about manga for librarians, mm-hmm. because many of them were very confused. And there are always folks that were at the forefront that did understand the importance of having manga. But there are many, many librarians who knew they should have it, but couldn't quite figure out either how or what it was and how to figure out which ones to get for different parts of your collection.
Yeah.
So that's what I first started kind of being known for, was the person who would explain that sort of thing, just because I was excited to share.
Yeah,
and then, you know, manga is a thing that worked for me specifically as a woman reading comics. There were way more stories for women who felt like it was aimed at me in manga.
You mentioned Sailor Moon and that being the early days of that, but I think a lot of listeners who are a little bit younger don't really realize that, like, they're Sailor Moon and that and Peach Girl and mm-hmm. those initial Tokyo Pop Wave titles, that was the real, not the absolute first, but the first big push for shoujo in
yes.
North America. And then eventually Jose with, like, you know, Paradise Kiss and the Erika Sakurazawa books. Mm-hmm. Like, Tokyo Pop really opened the ways for saying, hey, women like comics in Japan. They could like them here, too.
Mm-hmm.
They were right.
Mm-hmm.
Now you wouldn't think of an industry that didn't have women participating. But
yes.
then it was a very different very different vibe to what you get now.
Yes. And I kind of came into the comics world at the time when it was still that most Western comics were written, like, ideally for, like, 30 to 40-year-old men.
And it hasn't changed a lot.
It hasn't changed, except in the kids' comics world. That's way different. And the book publishing side of things is also very different. Like, we've a lot of different markets now, which is interesting. But manga's been one of the mainstays for libraries because they're so popular, and you get a huge collection. And you know, we do occasionally gripe about things like, how do I keep up with the, like, very, very long series, and should I get this entire 100 volumes or whatever it may be? But for me, it's always been worth it. And it's because kids love them so much, because adults love them too. I mean, it's not just kids, but the series are in some ways easier to collect because they are sequential. We know the numbers, and also they usually end. Like, most of them actually have an ending, unlike, say, traditionally Batman, Spider-Man, like all of that. That just goes on forever. But manga is also something I find interesting because a lot of my teens specifically, they find themselves in those pages often more. It used to be more than you'd see in Western stuff. Now it's, I think, about equal. There are a lot more indie and interesting comics that are coming out that teens do see themselves in. But for a long time, manga was the place.
It is interesting because manga was the first place as a teen you could see yourself in a title that didn't have superheroes in it.
Yes.
You could just actually be like, oh, this is a manga about school, about going to school. I go to school. And then, like, you know, maybe romance happens. Maybe a mystical comes through a portal, and that kind of happens too. But I think we really underestimate that part of the appeal, that, like, it starts, even Sailor Moon, you know, it's five girls who are going to high school together, or not even together, but, like, five high school girls that sort of find each other through this thing. But there is that grounding there that, and it's very real up until it's not real, but it always returns to that. Mm-hmm. And I think you saw that, I think I saw superhero comics change a little bit for that. Even things like the Robin series were suddenly... Robin does have a supporting cast that's at school rather than just being like The Adventures of Tim Drake, you know.
And where his nonstop. Parents.
Yes. And where his
parents. Right? I mean, that's all teen literature is, like, gets rid of parents as soon as possible because that's less fun. But no, I think the other thing I've seen, especially lately, a lot of the manga that my teens, I have a very large group of queer teens that come into my library and they found things like Boys Run the Riot and Our Dreams at Dusk and all of that. And then they love it. And they will just come in and they will literally bring in stacks of manga to their friends to make sure that they've found them and, like, you know, make them read them in the room. And we put them out all the time, but they will find things in there. And then they, like, you know, as you said, they love fantasy adventure just as much, but it's the kind of variation of genre that you can get. And young adult as a literature field is known for just mishmashing genres all the time. We don't have as strict genre categories as you might find in, say, adult fiction, but manga has always been that too. Nobody's afraid of mixing together all different things. So you'll have, like, a sci-fi romantic comedy, and that's perfectly fine and normal. Yeah. And the kids just don't care. If your friend says it's good, you'll read it. It doesn't matter what it is.
If you don't have friends who read it, that's, I think, where the discoverability becomes more of an issue. Like, you just end up, like, online on a pirate site somewhere being like, I heard this is supposed to be good, and it's 100 pop-ups or something like that.
Right.
And it's kind of like an awful experience, frankly. Piracy is a terrible reading experience.
Yes.
And it's why we actually kind of tried to direct people to libraries. And I think that that's something that, again, you've been saying for a long time, is that, like, libraries are where manga is.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many different editions of manga that have come out over the years, and there are some, for example, that I keep in my library because I know they're not available anymore. They're out of print, or the publisher, for whatever reason, you know, went kaput, and I will just keep them forever. One of the ones I always remember is After School Nightmare.
Oh, that's
I keep it in my room, and my kids still find it, and then, like, I love hearing them, like, kind of puzzle through it and talk about it. But I keep it because it's lasted well enough. Like, you know, it's a little battered and a little sad because all manga gets read kind of voraciously. But at the same time, it's really nice to know that I keep series like that. And as we were talking earlier also about things like Real and Slam Dunk and the series that are a little bit harder to replace now. Mm-hmm. And we go through and replace them slowly when we can. I'm very lucky that I have a very significant budget for my comics in my library. So I can do things like standing orders, which is the easiest way to collect them, because then you don't have to think about it. You get the next volume as soon as it's published. But we, as libraries, spend a lot of money on that and get them as much a series. And the other big thing we always talk about is that in order to make room when you have to weed, which is the thing all libraries have to do, you will try, especially with manga, to weed the entire series. Like, if it's still popular, but you can't, you know, weed, like, 2, 3, and 5 and then leave the others on the shelf because it won't make any sense.
Yeah. Just quick, what's weeding for people who don't know?
Weeding is the way a public library especially will work is that you need to take out the books that are less popular or so waning in popularity or physically being destroyed because you need room for the new titles that you order. It's the whole, we're not an archive. We are for the public that wants to use us. So the most important thing is what is going out and what people are finding. There are libraries, of course, that are archives and that's very different. But for us, that's what will be the metric that you'll start to judge.
I don't think people think about that, about basically like a publisher's releasing 40 books a month, you know, or 40, let's say 40 books, 20 books a month to be fair. Libraries don't have infinite space, like, nope. And you're not buying everything, but you're buying a lot.
We do, and it's a kind of thing where that's how you slowly keep assessing. You know, I check in multiple times a year to see where everything is going in terms of what's going up, what's going down, what used to be popular 2 years ago, is it still popular? And things go out in the hundreds. I mean, in our collections, so it's the most popular things. Amazingly enough, the most popular manga in my library is Case Closed. And I've had that. I have the whole series. It goes out all the time, which I find it fascinating that that's always true. It's been true for about a decade that is always at the top of my list.
That is not a good selling manga.
No.
No.
And it's but we have a large Japanese population and they love it because, and it's like, I think in some ways nostalgic for them.
Yep. Yep.
And we have a lot of younger readers that really glom onto it. So it's just funny. But yeah, so we definitely buy a lot to keep up with the series.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm always looking for the newer titles. I'm also always talking to my teen readers to find out what they're looking for. And obviously things like if something's on Crunchyroll or if their anime is coming up, that will boost whatever it is. So Spy Family was, you know, enormous as soon as the anime hit. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And honestly, that episode that we did on Spy Family is one of our most popular episodes.
Yeah, that makes
it's
sense.
It's just, it came out at exactly the right time. Everyone was in love with it. And we all loved it too, which was very helpful, actually. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any hate mail on that one, so that was good.
Yay.
It sounds like you're doing a lot of research, though. What would you say is, because, I mean, we try to be a resource. Manga Splain tries to be a resource for people, mostly adults, and it's mostly Chip, who comes from a comics background, but not a manga background.
Right.
Didn't discover manga in the 90s like the rest of us. And what would you say is are the good resources for, it's like, I want to know what's coming. If someone walked into your library who was in their 40s and like, my kid loves manga, you know, what do we do? Are they asking you? Are they asking your reference desk? Or?
Yes. Yeah, we get all kinds. I mean, the classic, I see more children and parent combinations because I work with younger folks and I work in our children's room as well as the teen room. And there's definitely a lot of, you know, I'm puzzled by this, but my kid really loves it, you know, and there more and more people aren't worried about it. You know, they'll just say, that's fine. They're having a good time.
Yeah.
But they do want to understand it. And I always bring out, you know, some of my usual discussions of manga and how it's a very different way of reading. And I like to reassure people sometimes, especially people who are trying to read it for the first time. And I will tell them, like, even though I now am very adept at reading all sorts of comics, it took me about 6 months to be able to learn how to read manga, even though I'd already been reading comics for a long time, just to understand the differences and to get used to the pattern of how the story is told. So to make sure, you know, they understand that you can't get it right away. It's okay, you know. But I think also a lot of parents are curious about things like the age ranges and the different kinds of stories, the different kinds of genres. And, you know, as most readers are just wondering what's okay for their reader.
Yeah.
And that can be very individual, too. There are readers who, you know, for example, might like horror, but don't want really explicit gore.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out which ones will work for them. That's reader's advisory is what we call it in the library world, where you just help someone find the right book for the right time.
That's kind of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely. But yeah, so we are fairly adept at it. I will say, like, you know, my own website that I started in 2002 is a place that we do a lot of that. We review.
Which is?
That is No Flying, No Tights.
Yes.
Which I named in 2002 and now cannot escape.
Man,
but
you needed to name it that, though, in 2002. Every comic book website at the time, like, was superheroes first.
Yep.
We do
actually like comics, superhero comics too, but we did a lot of manga coverage then. We do it now. We do a lot of explainers when we can. We have a whole article for people new to manga collections, both just how to maintain them, how to weed them, as we were talking about, but also how to figure out how to buy them. But we also respond to all sorts of reviews, all different kinds of genres, to make sure people know what to expect in the book. And it's always been from a library point of view. That's the important part of the site. It's not like an industry review blog. It's not a book publisher review blog. It's just about what librarians need to know about how to collect those series.
Well, I think a lot of non-librarians read the site as well.
Yeah. I would hope so.
Well, I mean, I do. I would recommend it actually to people who are curious, you know, who listen to the podcast and are like, they're only doing an episode every couple of weeks, so I need manga quicker than that.
Yeah.
Definitely check out Robin's site, No Flying, No Tides. I think there's a lot of amazing information there.
And the other thing we do a lot of is things like, we do reviews every day, every weekday, but we also do special lists, usually once or twice a month. And lists are the most important thing. I think everyone likes to think of lists and then argue about lists.
Yes, very much.
But we do a lot of like manga for middle school. Yeah. A lot of middle schoolers love manga, but you have to figure it out if you're, especially if you're in a school library,
what can
I collect without worrying about causing red flags to go up with either the administrators or does it have to relate to the curriculum? A lot of schools have to think about that.
Yeah.
So that's why we create those lists as well. And that helps anybody. Anybody who's just like, my, you know, 8-year-old loves manga, but I don't know what to get them. You can find that list.
Why might you want to learn a new language? For some of us on Mangasplaining, we use our knowledge of Japanese on the podcast to compare the English editions of manga to the Japanese. And honestly, reading more manga natively in Japanese, or bande dessinée in French, or webtoons in Korean, it's definitely a dream, and a great way to get there might be Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is a trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert in language learning for 30 years, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone offers fast language acquisition, immersing you in a language with no English translations, an intuitive process, and it's designed for long-term retention. It uses true accent technology to give you feedback on your pronunciation, and it's convenient with desktop and smartphone app options for offline learning. It's also an amazing value, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Mangasplaining learners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to actually ask you about digital manga, because I know that, you know, sites like Overdrive and Hoopla have a lot of material available. How does that interact with you when you're building a physical collection? Do you just have a computer set up in the teen room as well? It's like, and there's all the stuff on Overdrive. You could read any of these physical books or stuff there? Or
we don't do that as much. Mostly I talk it up to the kids who will individually ask, you know, and I'll say, oh, you know, we don't have that volume in right now, but we do have a digital copy. There's a lot of explaining how the apps work so that they can figure out how to get it on their phones, because almost most teens have a smartphone at this point, and that is how they will consume things. And undeniably, people will find stuff, you know, pirated in other ways. But we're always trying to make sure they know that the option exists from the library, especially because it's free. And you can, you know, we are one of the last places you can get free manga and free books where you don't have to pay for it, because we're paying for it for you. And then that means
their parents are paying through taxes, yada yada.
But the other thing is, like, you know, this sounds kind of funny, but especially for teens, maybe you don't want your parents to know what you're reading. And we are very big on privacy, so you can read whatever you want and we will never tell anyone.
I snuck a lot of queer books when I was younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to figure some stuff out. That was probably over my age range a little bit, but it helped.
That's the way reading works.
Yeah.
We do things like QR codes sometimes to help people find the digital titles as well. Because we can link to our catalog and list all the various formats at once. So you can get it, you know, in this print, this hardcover, this one is digital, this one is an audiobook. There are fewer audiobooks for comics, but they do sometimes exist.
We do a stinger at the end of every episode. And check your library for print and digital lending options. Yes.
And we appreciate it.
We've never gone into what that actually means. And you started off talking about having a physical collection in the library. And you're with Boston Public Library?
Brookline. So that's west of Boston.
Oh, okay.
It's a town right next to Boston.
Okay. And that's... But you have... Like, you can go to that website for your library and type in a title, and it'll show, I have the physical copy, I have the special omnibus still, and I've got the digital that's available in Overdrive. Subscribe to Overdrive or Hoopla or whatever?
We have both.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's, we haven't really talked about it on the show, but that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild that exists. And then you can do that from your phone, like legally read manga without having to buy it. Like, we're glad they do, like, support the publisher. And you guys are paying for it.
Yes.
But it is something that I feel like just not a lot of people know about.
And I think we feel very strongly as librarians that we want to support the creators. And that's how all things work in, you know, libraries. We want to ultimately, we are paying for the books to support the publishers and support them to publish more books, especially for the digital stuff. And for the any way anyone can get a story is the entire point of being a librarian. And that's why I do my job. You know, I always tell people that I became a librarian to connect people with the right story at the right time, whatever it is they need.
You went so hard on comics.
I did.
Like, when I met you, you were hitting, like, every show up. Mm-hmm. You came to TCAF, which was really nice. Yes. But, like, I would see you at so many shows. I'd see you in San Diego. What was it about comics and manga that triggered that for you? That you're like, oh, my God, I have to go and meet these people who make these books, meet the publishers, and devote so much of my professional career to it?
I mean, I think for me, it may even be the fact that when I was a kid, I wanted to be an animator.
Oh, okay.
But I am in that weird generation where there were no comic book stores that I ever went to. So I never read comics. I didn't have anyone in my life that introduced me to comics. So I didn't read them until I was an adult. I actually read them because of being a librarian.
Oh, wow.
I was working as a library worker. I wasn't yet a librarian. And the teen librarian just said, I'm heard we should have graphic novels. Can you go find out what they are?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then I just went and, like a good librarian, I researched everything and found all the books I should read. And I read all the like top 10 lists that were recommended at the time. But I was kind of astonished because for me personally, I love storytelling that does both. I love art and I love writing.
Yeah.
And anything that combines both is going to be my perfect medium. And again, with manga, I found the stories that really resonated with me personally. And I was like a huge fan of Paradise Kiss. And Mars was like the ridiculous romance that I loved.
Oh, love it.
Clamp, actually all of Clamp was a thing. I was one of those people. I still am sometimes. So yeah, just finding all the things that, and for me also, I think the emphasis on art is actually what drew me to manga as well, because of the pacing and the silence and the way that many, many, many more pages, many, many more panels are used to tell the story, and an awareness of silence and an awareness of the rhythm of conversation really works for me as a comics reader. And a lot of folks do that now. I mean, it's not like people weren't doing that in Western comics, but I think the cross-pollination now is actually, to me, almost the biggest difference is all of the industries are learning from each other and all the creators are admirers of each other.
Yeah.
So they're all starting to learn from each other how to do it. And they've been doing that for, you know, a good decade.
It's wild to see this generation of creators now that came up where manga was always available, as opposed to people sort of our age, where it was like introduced to us a little bit. And you really see that reflected in the art that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's just amazing, honestly.
And I think my favorite thing is the people like Faith Erin Hicks, who loves manga, but it's not like you look at her style and think immediately of manga in terms of the art style.
No, but
the pacing and the storytelling is there. And I think that's what's so interesting about the way it's influencing everything now.
Wow. Well, we're just about out of time. Is there anything you'd like to say to the folks out there?
Well, I'd just say if you ever want to contact all of us, we have a contact form on the Graphic Novel and Comics Roundtable, and it's for anybody that has any idea. If you want to, you know, suggest something like being a guest reviewer for our newsletter, and we're going to have a new kid reviewer, like a younger boy who wants to write reviews for us, so he's going to do
it. Oh, wow,
okay. But everything from any kind of partnership that you can think of, if you'd like to help plan programs at a local con or at a conference of any sort, or just, you know, new lists you're looking for. We want to hear from people as much as possible, and we want to collaborate as much as we can, even outside the library world.
That sounds like it's going to be an exciting year for you.
I hope so.
So. Well, Robin Brenner, thank you so much for joining us for Mong Explaining Listen to Me. If you're listening to this episode, we'll have links to everything that Robin's talking about in the show notes. Go to mongexplaining.com for more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.